I was working on my doctorate in Louisville, Kentucky, Southern Seminary, and I had an opportunity to get to go home for Thanksgiving. My mother sent me out to the store to pick up a few items, and it was there I ran into my fourth grade teacher, Miss Fuller. Now, when I was in the fourth grade, I spent more time in the hallway than I did in the classroom. And Miss Fuller said, "What are you doing now?" And I said, "I'm working on my doctorate, and I'm pastoring Riverside Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky." She started laughing hysterically. "No," she said. "Can't be." "I am, yes." "Well," she said, "you've certainly changed a lot since fourth grade." And I said, "Little do you know. I haven't changed much at all, really." She said, "Oh my." And what I want to talk to you today about is that there are places, though, in the world where we see God and find God that we would least expect it. There are some places where God is not even welcome. Interestingly enough. Ironically, some of the places where God is not welcome are churches. So certain that they already know everything there is to know about God. And not even God can change their minds. Now, Colonial Avenue Baptist Church is not like this. I hope this will always be a place where everybody feels welcome, even God. You know, like some of you, I feel sorry for my children. Miss Fuller didn't know, but I was going to have kids too, and she probably would have laughed hysterically at that, wondering what they turned out to be. Pastors' kids, preachers' kids, are always some of the most difficult children, right? Some of you know preachers' kids. Some of you are preachers' kids. Rick Scott is a preacher's kid. And so we know these kinds of things, right? It's hard to be the preacher's kid. The one who's supposed to give you God's pearls of wisdom on Sunday morning is the same one who blows up at you and sends you to your room on Saturday night. And I had one, if not more, of my children say to me, "I'm never going to come listen to you preach again, Daddy." And I said, "That'll be fine." That happens, right? The one who offers you this cup of the new covenant in Christ's blood is the same one who spills coffee down his shirt and all over his tie. And your kids look at you and laugh. It's hard to hear God speak through someone who's human, isn't it? I mean, you know them, and you know them well, and you wonder, how in the world can God use this person or that person? Sort of like Miss Fuller did with me. And being a pastor's spouse is even more difficult. You have to wake up with this person in the morning and their bad breath, and then you go on Sunday morning and hear them being nice to everybody. I remember one time Shelley said, "How about we switch things around? You be nice to everybody at home today and mean to everybody at church." They know you. They see you. They know what things are like, and the messenger isn't always consistent with the message. Not always, because they're human, right? Paul crooned, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels," 2 Corinthians 4:7, clay pots. Not a few of them are crackpots. But it's easier to be perfect when people don't really know you. That's why visiting preachers or television evangelists always seem so much wiser and holier than our own ministers in town. We know they're human. So maybe we can understand why Nazareth doesn't respond to Jesus. He had a homecoming sermon, and the local boy was getting quite a reputation. We hear he's healed people down around Capernaum Way, a man with an unclean spirit, a woman hemorrhaging for 12 years. We hear he even raised a little girl from the dead, and crowds are following him wherever he goes, and now he's coming back home. Well, let's go see him, right? You know, little Jesus, the carpenter kid. You know, little Jesus. Let's go see him. His disciples trailing along, the crowd at worship the Sabbath is a little bit more larger than usual. Not just because Jesus' disciples were there, but because there's a buzz about Jesus. People are wonder what Jesus is going to do today. We've heard he's been doing all kinds of miracles around town. Maybe he's going to do something for us. Can't wait to see it. Nazareth is a quiet place. It's kind of a dull, out-of-the-way village in the Galilean hill country off the beaten track. Way from the major highways, there were no big roads that came through that ran east to west. You seldom got a chance to see anything special happening in this little town of Nazareth. But maybe today, because Jesus is coming back. And then so here we are in the synagogue. There's Jesus looking good, standing at the pulpit, reading the Torah, word from the prophets, and then he starts to say the things that he'd been saying everywhere he goes. But to these people, these were some pretty strange ideas. This is what he said. God loves sinners. God loves sinners? And he says, new wine can't be stored in old wineskins. What's he talking about? Right? And then he says, his real family consists of those who follow him, not his mother or his brothers and sisters. Say what? No gimmicks, no signs, no wonders, just words. And the words were just a little bit disappointing. This is not at all what we were expecting. So where are the special effects? And you can only be polite for so long. They were putting up with Jesus and listening to what he had to say. But soon the neighbors started leaning in towards each other and whispering at first, then muttering, and then interrupting Jesus. Where did he get this? What wisdom can he give that we didn't know this? Where did he get this from? What mighty works is he performing? He hasn't done anything here. Why won't he do something for us? And then somebody remembers changing Jesus' diapers. Somebody else says, that's just a little boy that ran around with the other kids in the city square. That's just Jesus. Somebody mentioned his family. Small town, really, you know, Nazareth. So everybody knows everybody. You know what I'm talking about? Sort of like Floyd, probably. And you couldn't do anything except somebody'd see you and you'd get in trouble because your mom would find out, right? Joseph is kind of an old man with a reputation for incompetence as a carpenter. And they remember Mary left town with Joseph for 3 years and came back with a child already almost 3 years old. Jesus' brothers and sisters grew up with their own kids, and they say Jesus was nothing special as far as they can tell. And in short, Nazareth is not impressed with the carpenter's kid. Not at all. Not surprisingly, the carpenter's kid can't do any of the famed miracles here. Nothing. Everywhere else Jesus goes, people are impressed with who he is. But not here. Not here. Everywhere else Jesus goes, they're astonished by what he has to say. And they begin to follow, but not here. Not here. And Jesus' story in microcosm of the supreme irony, he came to his own and his own knew him not. The very people who hunger and thirst for God most reject God in their midst. Very people who pray for the Messiah miss the Messiah when he comes. And God's not welcome among them. Why? Is it because Jesus doesn't perform miracles when they came expecting miracles? God's never welcome where entertainment is more important than worship. Because Jesus doesn't say what they want to hear. He tells them all to repent. Who wants to hear that? Nobody. He tells them all they're sinners. Who wants to hear that? Nobody. He doesn't speak about their needs, but he talks about the needs of others, and he talks about the needs of God, and he calls them to take care of the poor and the outcast, and God is never welcome when we only hear what we want to hear. And we refuse to hear what makes us uncomfortable. Well, I didn't get anything out of that service today. I didn't like it at all. Really? Well, you were here. God was here. What's wrong with the picture? And maybe the message itself they reject along with the messenger. These strange notions Jesus brings of a God who loves all people. Are you kidding me? Nobody loves everybody. Even sinners, even foreigners, even the people we despise. God's not welcome where prejudice keeps us from hearing God's voice or receiving God's call to love as God loves. And sometimes we don't want to hear it. Or is it finally because they just know Jesus too well? I mean, that's what happened with Miss Fuller, I think. Familiarity breeds contempt. We think we've seen it all. We think we know him. We think we understand him. And we think this couldn't possibly be true what others are saying about him. We've been knowing him going on 30 years. And we never saw or heard this in him until now. God's never welcome among the people who carry God's name when we limit what God can be or how God can appear, through whom God can speak. God's not welcome when we limit what God might want to say, not just whatever makes us feel good or happy or self-satisfied at the moment. God's not welcome when we close our eyes to what's extraordinary because what we can only see and believe is the familiar. And anything else, well, that can't be. That's the point, isn't it? You have to pay attention because you never know when or how or through whom the Messiah may appear. Girls, you're going to see some wonderful things this week. And God's going to appear to you in different ways. Pastor Melissa is trying to give you some advice. How about the older kids? Are you looking for ways that God can appear that you never expected? Do you see them when they happen? And do you recognize that these unexpected revelations come from, well, that comes from God. Jesus says the people of Nazareth need to repent and they need to turn their thinking around, and instead of looking for God in some entertainment, they need to see God is already at work in very real ways in their lives. Instead of looking for God in the spectacular, they need to see God in the ordinary graces of everyday life. The modern, dare I say, postmodern church is way too familiar with Jesus. And after all these years of living together in the same community, we need to repent. We need to turn our thinking around. We need to remember that God may speak to us in very ordinary, routine, run-of-the-mill people. People we already know. And God can appear in any form. Maybe in the form of a child. What do you think? Imagine that. Or a woman. Or a prisoner, or a street person, or a person in the church that you have come to discount, and whose voice you ignore. God may be revealed through something as ordinary as a piece of bread, or a cup of juice. Imagine that. Or maybe God will say something to us we didn't want to hear, like we need to change our minds or change our ways or deal with our own issues we've so carefully guarded. But we'll see God and welcome God and respond to God if God doesn't appear the way we expect, and if God doesn't say what we want to hear, and God doesn't make us feel happy, not all the time. And I suspect each and every one of us has our blind spots. You know, where it's hard to see the face of God. I realize things may be turned around here a bit here in our church, and believe it or not, there were still some here who can't get past some of the old worn out notions and won't hear God speak except in a certain way through a white man with gray hair. We all have our blind spots. And there are some who think you can only hear the word of God coming from the pastor. The biggest limitation on the power of Christ to do signs and wonders among us is the limitations we put on him because we presume to tell him what he can or cannot do, and who he can and cannot use, and how he can and cannot work among us. But what if we were to repent? What if we were to turn our thinking around and let Jesus open our eyes? What if we looked at every person here and saw God revealed in some way? Every person here revealing in some way God. Every person here. Imagine that. Imagine that. What if we looked at each other and said, you know, I see God in you. Imagine that. Imagine that. What if we took the hand of people we've known for years, and when we took that hand and shook it, we felt the love of Jesus? Imagine that. Imagine that. What if we listened to the needs of the people we ride home with in our cars, and we discover that Jesus is reaching out to them and to us? Imagine what could happen in Nazareth if Nazareth decided to trust in Jesus, God in their midst, heretofore overlooked. I've shared this story before, but it means a lot to me. It's a fascinating story. You may remember about an old monastery. It was down to just 3 monks. And years had passed since anybody had joined the order. And as time passed, these 3 monks figured they were going to be the last 3 monks in the monastery. The abbot in charge shared his sadness with a friend, a neighboring rabbi, and the rabbi looked surprised and said, No, your order will not die. Your monastery will not close. You see, I've had a revelation that the Messiah is among you. So, no, it will not close. And the abbot returned to the 3 and said to them, there's been a new revelation from a rabbi. The Messiah is among us. The Messiah is among us. Well, they were astonished, and suddenly, well, they started treating each other a whole lot nicer. And they started getting excited about who they were and what they were doing and the mission that they had. And they would always remember, the Messiah is among us, but we don't know which one it is. So we need to be nice to each other. Don't we? Because we don't know who it is. But the Messiah is among us. And so they listened to each other as they'd never listened before. And they blessed one another as they had never blessed each other before. And visitors to the monastery noticed the quality of the monks' care for one another. They really, really loved each other. It was obvious. It was beautiful. It was contagious, and people wanted to experience what they were experiencing, and people wanted to join them. And when they did, they were told the secret. Shh. Don't tell anyone. But we've been told that the Messiah is among us. We don't know who it is. So, each met each other and didn't know. And they were all drawn closer into the love of God. Sadly, Jesus was almost powerless in Nazareth, his own hometown. He went on to other towns. He sent his disciples out 2 by 2 to carry the good news where he could not go. Just as we can carry the love of Christ and bring blessings even to those places where God would not ordinarily be welcome, but this mission begins with our welcoming Christ ourselves. With our opening the door to God. With our seeing the imprint of God's Spirit on the ordinary people around us. Today, this interests me. Nazareth is one of the very few predominantly Christian towns in all of Israel. I doubt anyone who lives there is even remotely related to the people of Jesus' day. But still, finally, Jesus' hometown has welcomed him. Finally. Will we? Shh. A it's been said, the Messiah is among us. Can you believe it? Let's pray. God, in the way we see each other, in the way we listen to each other, in the way we love each other, reveal yourself to us. Be as real as this bread and wine we bless today. Be embodied in our bodies, speak through our words, offer the bread of life through our hands, and let us welcome you always in our midst in whatever disguise you may wear. Let this be a welcoming place, and our table the welcome table, for Jesus' sake. Amen.